I'm an addict named Rashima. Hi, family. Thanks to Adini and Programming Committee for asking me to do this workshop tonight. I got a call like 5 days ago to see if I could do this. So that basically means I wasn't the first choice, or probably the first 10 choices. But I got asked anyway, and I'm happy to do it. I'm always psyched to serve when I can in this way. And most recently, last year I served on the Programming Committee. And I remember how hard it was getting someone to do this workshop, the concepts workshop. It's tough to fill. I heard it said when I was really early on that, 5% of the people do 95% of the work. And that's kind of the pool you're looking at when you're asking someone to share on this topic. So I know how hard it was for Deanie, and give it up for Karen, because she got asked an hour ago. So she's super awesome. There's some people here that have heard my story, which is really great. I'm so happy that people came out to support me. But for those of you that don't, I will give you the quick version. I feel like I was born an addict. I always had addictive tendencies. I'm an only child. Self-centeredness was just, a way of life for me. when I used to just escape reality totally. And for me, the active use part kicked off after a car accident. They gave me some chemicals in the hospital that I just fell in love with. Seriously. And I remember the way I felt that first time, and I remember thinking, I want to feel like this for the rest of my life. And I really don't care what I have to do that. And for the next couple years of my life, that was what I proceeded to try and do, was maintain that high, chase the high, find ways and means to get more and do more. And it didn't matter what my morals were. It didn't matter how I was raised. It didn't matter what was good for me or what was bad for me. It only mattered what my disease said to do and how could I do it so I could get more. And at the end, I really only saw two choices. I could not keep using the way that I was. I just could not do it. I'm not built like that. It was just way too hard. Using is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life, ever. And I couldn't do it anymore, so that wasn't an option. I didn't think that I could get clean because I had tried before and whatever didn't work. So I really thought my only option was to just kill myself. And that was my plan. And I remember sitting in my apartment in Philly thinking, how many bags would it take and how long would it take for them to find me? And my crazy brain decided that it would be around Mother's Day that I'd finally be found, because my parents lived in Maryland. I was in Pennsylvania. And I had tried to commit suicide before. After my car accident, and I'm an only child, and now that I'm a mom, that's just the height of self-centeredness, to try and take yourself from your parents when, you're their only child. And I couldn't do that to my parents again, and I had my first conscious contact with God as I understand God, and it was like, try to get clean one more time. And I came back to Frederick, and I got on a drug replacement therapy for a couple months, and then they detoxed me off of it totally. And in that time, I started going to Narcotics Anonymous. And when I got here, I just fell in love instantly. It's like I finally found the place that I was looking for. And you guys had the answer to something I had been chasing for the last couple years, which was how to stop getting high, like how to stop killing myself. Because at the end, I really didn't want to get high anymore. I couldn't stop. I didn't know how to stop. I tried to stop. I couldn't stop. I didn't think it was possible. I really thought I was going to die a junkie with a spike in my arm. And you guys had that. You had that answer that I had been looking for. And it didn't matter that you didn't look like me, or you didn't talk like me, or you didn't go to school, or I went to school, or you didn't have your parents didn't make this money that my parents made, or whatever. None of that mattered, because you guys knew how I felt. You guys knew how I felt at the end. And I just fell in love. I'm such a dork. I used to wear a button that says square pegs do fit in round holes because of our symbol. I'm inside of a round hole. And that's true. It's dorky, but that's how I felt when I got here. And I jumped in with both feet, and I was in meetings all the time, as many as I could. I was all over speakers, jams, conventions. And when I had 60 days, I came to my first CPR CNA. It was number 10. And Friday night, a guy named Ritchie C from Brooklyn shared, and he was just like screaming, and I'm gonna put a hit on the disease. And I was like, yeah, so into it. And I had lunch with him later, and he said, you need to go to the relationships meeting. My friend Sharon, you need to go. And I'm like, oh no, I don't have problems with relationships. Because, you know, my man was in prison, and when he got him home, we were going to love, you know, have NA and live happily ever after. I didn't have a problem with relationships. But anyway, I went to the meeting, and there was a woman who shared there named Janet G., and she broke things down for me the way I needed them to be broken down. She said, there's no musts, NA, in NA, but if you want what I have, you have to do what I did. And I was just like, all ears, like, tell me. And she said, it's five things. Go to meetings, many meetings, way more than 90-90, like a meeting a day for 3 to 5 years. Work steps with your sponsor, get a relationship with the God of your understanding, and do service. Do service to get involved and feel a part of something that's bigger than you, that you can do something to help someone else and feel good about yourself. And that's how I try to work my program, those five things. I'll focus mostly on service because it's a concept meeting. And I started service from my first day out of treatment. Really, my first time I ever did service was before I was even told I hadn't gotten a white key tag yet, but I was going to a lot of meetings. And we used to be able to smoke inside this one meeting. And I used to throw away the ashtrays. And I thought it would be good for me because, you know, I can be a little arrogant. I can have a lot of ego. And I was new. And I didn't want to come in here and not get what there was for me to offer. So I took something that wasn't important. And it wasn't even a real position. Like, I just did it. And I needed to start like that and do something that I knew was helping the group. Whether somebody asked me to or not, I'm not stupid. I knew we needed to do it, or we could be too messy and get thrown out. And then after I got out of treatment, lovely man in our area named MF or Danny gave me a key to the noon NA. And was like, here, do it twice a week. You're the secretary. First day out of treatment. I'm like, okay. And that's when I got started. And like I said, I love service from the beginning. There's some qualities that you need to be good at service. And at that time in my recovery, I just had those qualities. One of them is commitment, and I had that. I would do anything for this program. I was willing to do anything for my recovery. Availability and enthusiasm. And those are like the three probably most important things. The rest you can learn. Like if you need some skills or whatever, somebody can teach you that. You know, that's not a big deal. You can learn it. But those other three things, if you don't have it, I don't know. And I had a lot of those three when I was early in recovery. I went back to my mom and dad so I didn't have to work. So I was around. I could do meetings. I could open up. I could have the key when someone else wasn't there. And after that, I just went on and on with service and did different positions. I've held so many different positions. The next one I had, I like guys, okay? When I was new, yeah, I like guys. I didn't want to, you know, no relationships, whatever. Everyone, stick with the women. I'm like, well, where are they? Because I'd look around, and, like, there's two of us in a room full of 10 men. And they're like, oh, they're around. So someone said, why don't you start a women's meeting? So that was, like, the second big service commitment that I did. And I went to area service for the first time, and I was a GSR. Now, I worked the steps individually with my sponsor for myself to help myself grow and be better. The traditions I also work on an individual level, but they're practiced in a group setting. You know, the traditions are what we do to keep our groups safe and help our groups function. The concepts are how our service structure functions. So it's a little bit bigger than the groups. So once I started getting involved in area service and a little bit, you know, more outside of the group level, that's when I started having experience with the concepts. And if you guys are sitting out there thinking, like, I've never worked the concepts. I don't know anything about the concepts. If you've done service, you've probably worked some of the concepts. They're just not, we just don't talk about them as much for whatever reason. So people aren't as aware of what they are and that they're there. But, you know, they do work. They're there for a reason. Our fellowship adopted them later, you know, after the steps and traditions, a couple years later. But they are there to help our structure function. And if you don't know what our service structure is, there's all kinds of literature out there that you can get, but it's kind of like an upside down pyramid. You know, the most important part of our service structure is at the group level. That's where there's the most people. The individual addict is the most important person. It takes one single person to do different things that make everything work as a whole. You know, it doesn't just work by itself. And when we go to our groups and we talk about stuff in our group consciences and we make decisions, and then areas are there to support our groups, and regions are there to support our areas, and the world is there to support our regions, areas, and groups. And it goes down. So it's not like you move up in service. Like, well, first I was, I mean, it seems that way, because the clean time requirements and other requirements for certain positions are more, you know, when you get to different levels. But the importance really isn't more. Like, sitting in a group conscience, voting on the conference agenda report, is like one of the most important forms of service that we can do and work a concept and have a say in what happens in our fellowship. And we can all do that. We don't have to have a title or 5 years clean or whatever. We just have to be able to listen and pay attention and express our opinion. And I'm not good enough with the concepts that I can say that thing, that's concept 7. But it's one of them. There's one that says we need to all, you know, have a say in what's going on. So I got different positions. When I had 6 months clean, I went to my first regional service committee meeting. And I didn't have a regional position. I went, I think, to sit on special events or something. And at that regional meeting, they put in a motion to create a new position, and it was called, at that time, Regional Service Representative Second Alternate. So it was, that person would be a second alternate to the World Service Conference for 2 years, then they'd be an alternate as a representative to the World Service Conference for 2 years, and then they'd be the regional representative for 2 years. I had 6 months clean. I was like, I want that position. And I really, literally, like, wanted to, like, put my name in the hat right then. And they're like, yeah, it's a five-year clean time requirement. I was so bummed. But you know what? I kept coming back. Like I said, I do group service. I've done area service. I've done regional service. And when I finally got, I don't remember how many years I cleaned. They changed the conference cycle every other year, not every year, so I had to wait an extra year after my 50. I think when I had 6 years clean, I finally got elected RD second alternate, and got to go to the World Service Conference for 3 years in a row, and finally at the end, you know, represented my region at the World Service Conference, and it was such a high for me. It was just, I don't know, we come around here like broken and beaten, and we don't know stuff, and like we learn things and we grow and we develop skills that we didn't even know we would have in some cases, and we just go places that maybe we never thought that we would go, and that's just like amazing to me. We make goals and we meet goals and we make more goals, and sometimes we have setbacks and fail, and sometimes we don't, and people support us and help us and encourage us, and you know, we just grow. And when I was there, that was just all I could think about. But earlier on, I was saying some of the qualities that you need to have. One being enthusiasm. It was a little bittersweet for me when I finally got that position, because I changed a lot in 6 years when I was alternate, and then it was another 6 by the time I was actually the rep. So 12 years, a lot can happen. I had a baby, and I was pregnant at my second World Service Conference, and I had to go to, like, all over to every area in our region and, like, do this thing, and I was, like, this big and wobbling around, and I have to say my enthusiasm is probably not there. But you know what? I dug my heels in, and I did it. And that's how, like, recovery gets for me sometimes, not just in service. Like, that's life. Sometimes life gets hard. Sometimes life gets boring. Sometimes life is tedious. And all I can do is keep putting one foot in front of the other, moving forward and doing the next right thing and doing what I'm supposed to do and not moving backwards. And that's what I've learned in service. That's what I've learned in this program. When things get tough, do what I've learned. Go to a meeting, call my sponsor, read some literature, and I've almost always, for every day that I've been clean, had some type of service commitment. And I'll tell you, 2 years ago, my life was going pretty shitty. I had a really big commitment for this convention, and I came so close, like, screw it. I'm not going to do it. And I knew my recovery was teetering. You know, it was not solid like it had been before. Someone, you know, that I was very close to me was using, and it was affecting me. My disease was very active. And I just had an epiphany. I had an awakening with my higher power. It's like, if you don't keep your commitment, if you don't have something, just another reason not to pick up, you know, you really might just pick up. So keep another reason. Keep another reason in your, you know, little pocketbook of reasons to not get high. And it was a year-long commitment. So I'm like, all right, I'll keep the commitment. I definitely can't get high for the next year because I'm serving at the convention. And you know what? By the time the year went by, things had changed. I wasn't, you know, things weren't as bad. Not here too long. But yeah, every level of service I've kind of tried out. And I'm glad that I did it that way. I feel like after doing the different levels, I found it really where I really fit. It's not world service level. Definitely not. But I do my best at the area level. I'm the most needed at my area level, and I do, I think, my best service at the area level. And my area is small. You know, it still needs trusted servants. Like I said, 5% of the people do 95% of the work. And they need people. They always need people. And I learned so much about myself, about life, about recovery in area service, in other service meetings too. But the group conscience concept, it's also in a tradition. That was a big thing for me to learn about. I wanted to be self-sufficient. I like to be self-sufficient. I don't want to have to rely on somebody else to give me money to get high with. So, you know, I don't want to have to rely on someone else to stay clean either. And I learned that group conscience and having a group to make decisions is better. Like, my brain by itself is not always, you know, the best. It's, you know, five heads are better than one. Even it's tough sometimes to work with other personalities and be more have to work more spiritual principles, be more open-minded to others. But in the end, it works out. And the one thing that I really love about group conscience is that if people don't like it, like, that's what our group decided. Don't bitch at me. Like, I didn't make that decision all by myself. We said a prayer at the beginning. We had a vote. This is what we decided. If you don't like it, talk to your HP about it. But I like that I don't have to be responsible for everything. I can lean on other people in service when I rely on the group conscience. I learned a lot, too, about, like I said, getting other people involved and listening to what other people have to say. I was talking to someone earlier. I went to high school with people that got, like, perfect scores on their SATs, and I went to an Ivy League university, and I've been around a lot of really smart people in my life, but the people that I've met here, I'm not going to say they're the most book-smart people I've ever met, but we are so creative and have so much ingenuity and insight and awesome ideas, and when we all get together and talk about different ideas, like, amazing things happen. Especially when we invite a loving God into the conscience with us. The people that I've met here are just the most amazing people that I know. I'm the kind of person, I don't have a whole lot of people that I deal with that aren't in recovery. And that's just the way I like it. That's the way I want it to be. But I've learned how to be more open-minded to people, especially in service. It doesn't matter so much. I just have an easier time being open-minded when it comes to service because it's not about me and what I want. It's about what's best for the whole of Narcotics Anonymous. whether it be the whole area, the whole region, the whole convention, the whole group. And I know if everyone in here was like me, or if every, you know, a lot of people wouldn't get helped, basically, is my point. Our diversity is one of our strongest strengths in Narcotics Anonymous. And services really taught me to be open, because I might know what's going to be good for these 10 people, but there's going to be another 50 people that aren't going to relate to that at all. So it's important for me to, let other people have a say and not, just run meetings and, shut up for a minute. One of the other things I've learned about service is I like to say, if you want to find out what your character defects are, get in a relationship. But I also say, if you want to know what your character defects are, have children or do service. Do service. If you want to know what your character defects are, do service. It'll figure itself out. They will reveal themselves. And like I said, I do a lot of service. I've learned a lot about myself in service. I've hidden in service before. I've used service to avoid, the real world, like getting jobs and doing stuff like that. I've used service to avoid doing step work and really digging. That has happened, but I've also had defects revealed. And once they're out there in front of a ton of people, you can't ignore them anymore. And, that's one of the other things that I've gotten from doing service that's just been invaluable. Self-awareness. And it's a little bit of a hard pill to swallow sometimes. Like you're having this great self-discovery moment about how effed up you are in front of 1,000 people. But you know what? Yeah, I bet, at least for me, I don't make that mistake a second time after I've, kind of got mud on my face in front of a bunch of people like that. So that's the other thing that I've learned. Tough topic. The group level of service is all that I've actually done in the last couple years. As I said earlier, there's some things that you need to be a good trusted servant. One of them is availability. And I'm just not as available as I was when I had a year clean and no husband and no babies and no full-time job and whatever. I haven't been able to, it's not that I haven't been able to, my priorities just changed a little bit. When I'm working 40-hour weeks and I get to see my kids a couple hours a day, one Sunday a month seems like a lot, maybe it's an excuse, maybe it's a reason, whatever. I love area service, and I know in my heart I will be back there soon. Not sure how soon, but soon. So since I've been on a little hiatus from regional area level, I stay in my group. I still do service at the group level. I'm a treasurer. I show up every week, although I may not show up on time. But thanks to Carrie, she'll be there. But that's what I do. And I'm almost out of time, which is awesome, because I've totally run out of things to say. But I will say, if you haven't done service before, give it a try. You might like it. I said early on, I was like dumping ashtrays and stuff. But I haven't done a single service commitment yet, including the god-awful programming last year, that at the end, when it was done, I didn't feel a little bit better about myself. I felt like I didn't just do something good for me in my recovery, but I actually helped put together something that was bigger than me, or I helped out with something that was going to help somebody with a day clean, or that's going to help somebody, who's blind and can't read our program and gets a braille, or whatever it was. I did something that was going to help somebody other than myself. And that's not what we do when we're using, at least not me. I didn't ever do anything that was going to help anybody else. It was all about helping me and myself. And I know I didn't talk about any of the concepts, like 1, 2, 3, but, this is the book. It's our 12 concepts. If you want to get a better understanding, pick it up. They have it upstairs in the merchandise room. It's where I got mine. It's $2. Listen to Karen, because she knows a lot about them too, and thank you guys for coming out and let me share. I'll keep coming back.